So, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys.
Okay. And Haley, can you hear us?
I can also hear.
Good.
Everything's good.
There was some weird moment going on here. Hello and welcome to our sending. Could you say your name yourself that we don't say it wrong?
Yes, my name is Suzanne Carson Fox.
And where are you right now?
I'm currently in the Red Warrior Camp of Standing Rock First Nation in North Dakota.
And I assume you've been there not so long time, until one day, 2 days?
Yeah, I've been back for 2 days now, but I've been here back and forth since early May when the first camp went up.
Mm. I can say that here in Sami, in Finland, Norway, Sweden, and Russia, we Sami have been following this case not so many weeks yet. And you said that you have the first time was in May. Like, how could you now describe the whole this long time period until these days? Now, like when it first started, how many people were there at the sites then?
Yeah, so when I first got word of what was going on here in Standing Rock, the Sacred Stone Camp was the encampment, and there was a woman by the name of LaDonna who was running that camp, and that was set up as a reaction to the coming decision of the Dakota Access Pipeline. So they had set up a camp and there wasn't a decision, so the pipeline had yet to be approved. In early August, the Army Corps of Engineers approved the pipeline, and it was LaDonna and that camp. They actually put out a call for warriors to come to Standing Rock, and that call was answered by thousands of people. So since the beginning to where we are right now, it's pretty incredible because how we ended up here is actually just by people responding to a call for action. And over this weekend, there were numbers of over 3,000 people in the camp.
Mm. So how is the atmosphere right now there?
Well, the atmosphere is pretty intense. I don't know if you guys were able to see on your media, but over the weekend, things escalated. The construction company brought in a team of their own security guards with dogs. And so today is the day that the port is going to make feelings about a reaction to how that was handled. So the atmosphere is sort of, it's building right now because once again, there are people on the front lines doing action.
Mm. So
so it's very intense. There's sort of an atmosphere of building tension. In the next couple hours, there'll be a court decision as to what's going to happen next. So the energy here is always sort of this beautiful, peaceful energy that's up against this constant need to protect the camp, the people who are here, and of course the water and the environment first and foremost.
Mm. Let me ask if I
have to say.
Yes?
Oh, sorry.
Just say.
I was just going to say, I have to say that the environment, like the actual energy here, is unlike anything I've ever experienced because there are so many people unified just for one thing, and that is just to protect the water and the earth. And that's non-native people and hundreds of tribes.
Yes. I wanted to ask about you that, like you said, you are Anishinaabe, right?
I'm Anishinaabe, Ojibwe, so I'm from Batchewana First Nation, which
from
is actually on the border of Canada and the USA.
Yeah, and I saw from your Instagram that you wrote about, like, in the border control when you came across the border. What did happen there?
Yes, so until now I've been flying here. This was the first time that I decided to drive, and the reason being is I wanted to deliver supplies. So my vehicle was packed with supplies, and when I crossed the border, they actually looked on my social media and found out that I had been coming to Standing Rock, and that's when they started changing their questioning and they took me into the interrogation, and then they emptied my entire vehicle top to bottom, including they actually ripped up all of the plastic liners, and all this time questioning me about where I was going and why I was going to North Dakota. So really unreasonable questioning when I had nothing and no reason to be stopped.
Mm. We here in Sápmi, I don't know if you have seen the map here in the north, a part of Scandinavia, like Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Russia are very close, 100 kilometers, 150 kilometers of driving. You come past three, from one country to second and third and fourth country. So we have lots of borders and then very strict limits between borders. Like we just can't go to Russian side if we want. We need a visa and anything and so on. So it's very familiar for us too in that way. But ask about you, like... I see it's from your webpage that you are doing a lot of stuff, but what made you to be committed to also be there in the Standing Rock?
Yes. I come from a very political family, so I sort of grew up in these kinds of environments, but I've been following Indigenous resistance all over the world recently, and, you know, There is no reason why we shouldn't be able to travel freely and to be in these kinds of environments. So it's very troubling for many of us who are here at the front lines to have to deal with the kinds of things that have been getting in the way. And it's not just Standing Rock, it's all of the occupations that are happening, because there are quite a lot of these kinds of things that have been happening in the United States. It's just that this is the first one to be getting this kind of numbers and attention.
As I know in Canada, like talking about hashtag water is life, and how many big rivers they have cut there just to make hydro plants there. Like just...
Yes, and you know, our government in Canada, I just worked on a project, we did a documentary with Justin Trudeau, and I spent the entire day with him in a remote northern Canadian First Nation community. It's called Shoal Lake 40, and they have had no access to clean water for over 30 years.
Wow.
So our government has promised to end all boil water advisories and all First Nations in the next 5 years. But, you know, whether that will actually come to fruition is yet to be known, because the water is so extreme. It's actually being felt worldwide right now. Water is going to become, it's already worth more than gold, and we're going to see it become increasingly harder to acquire.
Mm. We still have that pristine waters here, but we are also... fighting. There's a big mining boom. We have lots of Canadian mining companies trying to come here to in our lands. So yeah, and we are struggling a lot here with that. And also, the water is so key element, but not so people are not talking about it because they see it as it's still clean. So why should they worry about it? But
it's that same thing as you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Exactly.
Mm.
So what do you think then there in Standing Rock, like how much media there actually is at place?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because up until this past weekend, there had been little to no coverage coming out of Standing Rock. And for me, and I was here covering on a long form, so there wasn't very much, news that was going out right away. It was an vicious.
Are we losing you?
I think. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you repeat that? What you just said. Immediately,
yes.
When you're talking about media, they're cutting you off.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it's been pretty impossible to get any kind of service down here, and it comes and goes, so you have to wonder.
yeah. when we were trying to call you before, it was quite tricky to get you through. But yes, now we finally got you.
Yeah. Up until this weekend, there had been little to no media at all. And I think it's such a shame that in order for the world to pay attention, there had to be such a violent altercation between these peaceful protectors and these Dakota Access security guards. There has been a lot of media. So right now, today, is the first time we're seeing a very big interested. So I think, you know, obviously that's wonderful, but I feel that it should have happened sooner.
Mm. What did you think about when I contacted you?
I was so thrilled. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so interesting is that although you're, it seems like, on the other side of the world to me, this connection to the Sami people, I'm so not surprised that there was another indigenous connection that would be worldwide that I would get.
We're breaking. Oh. Tie lei Sarain Carson Fox. Mä sähtä iska verringe oktivel tjoihi taas musiikka taas kaskaas takkarko Tall Paul Prayers in a Song. Heli.
Mm?
Täällä Tall Paul ja Prayers in a Song. And now we have back in line Sarain. Hello, can you hear me, Sarain?
I can hear you. We're back.
Great. So, you know Tall Paul?
I do know this artist, and you just played his music, I understand.
it was an accident, but like I found this song earlier in spring, and then when we were making this list, I just pulled that. Oh yeah, Tall Paul, I need to play that. And then I was listening. Maybe you know him, because the people in around here, they don't know him.
It's very cool. You know, that's just another thing that's happening. Like, the beauty of social media is that our world have become so much smaller, and now we can connect in all these amazing ways. So not through just the arts and music and politics, but also through these really cool movements.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's happening here in Standing Rock.
Yeah. So.
And I have to tell you that every night they play music here. There are live concerts that happen every night here in Standing Rock, in the camp.
And there's also going to be a big concert, the Black Hills Unity concert, now during the weekend.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, and I made a playlist of all those artists into Spotify that everybody can access to that, what kind of artists are going to play there, and I'm going to share it to everybody. So if you're not there in the concert, you can feel the artists who are playing there in the concert.
That's beautiful.
I actually could find most of them. it's pretty much like...
What a treat for everyone listening.
Yeah, so they don't need to go and find themselves. But I had some very good time. But what do you think now? What is the reality of the hashtag Dakota Access Pipeline? What do you think how things are going to go there?
Well, you know, this is going to be a very big week for all of the protectors that are here on the front lines, because the decision will come through on Friday as to whether or not they actually do have the right to cut under the river. And I think what the reality is for the people who are here is that they're going to be here. That means for them over here in the States is that they might be gearing up to spend their winter in an encampment, mostly in teepees and tents. So I think the reality is that the people who are here are not going to give up or back down. So I think what we're really looking to see is what the reaction from the government will be, because the government will decide what kinds of conditions the people who are here are going to have to deal with just to protect the water. Aside from that, I think we can't go back from this now, which is pretty incredible because the world now knows that Indigenous people from all over the world have united and will continue to unite to protect all of the environment and our waters. And I think that that in itself is the beginning of a revolution. And I think that can never be changed or turned back. So no matter what happens with Dakota Access Pipeline, it's very clear that the protectors here are not going to back down. So I'm very, very hopeful that things get dealt with politically in the best way possible and that this doesn't have to end in violence. And I'm really, really hoping that that can be done. But from the perspective of the camp, they will be here until Dakota Access Pipeline is not.
Well, thank you for your words. But this one thing that we are always talking about, Sami, we always talk about weather. So how is the weather now when they're thinking about the winter? How cold does it get?
Oh, it can get very, very cold. You know, if you get a really bad storm, there's no trees here, so the wind can blow quite briskly and can be quite dangerous. And if it gets below freezing, you know, it can be quite dangerous, especially if there are a lot of people here who dropped everything and just drove out here. And so that was early August. It was very warm and dry. So there are people here who are not necessarily prepared for the winter. And so that's what we're working to do, is to prepare people for the winter. And also always hoping that that won't be the case, that people will not have to endure those kinds of conditions. But it can be up to minus 10, minus 15 easily
Celsius
in the midwinter. Yeah. It can get cold.
Yeah. Well, we have minus 30, minus 40, so maybe we should take a Sami camp there to make sure that you guys don't get cold.
Well, you know, this is the prairies, and I'm from up north, so I'm also with you on the minus 30, minus 40, so maybe we need to bring more of the northerners. You're right.
Thank you.
We can all share our warmth.
Yes, yes, yeah. Sarah and Carson Fox, very, very, thank you very much. And luckily we had the connection that the phones were working through this interview.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for reaching out. And I'm sending all of this beautiful energy from the camp here at Standing Rock to all of the listeners over there on your side of the world.
We wish you all the best there, and we keep on following what's happening. So, yeah, hopefully it goes well.
Awesome. I know it will. Spirit of the people will persevere. So, Team Iigwech, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.